This is the Truth Network. Kingdom Pursuits, where you hear from ordinary people instilled with an extraordinary passion. Together, we explore the stories of men and women who take what they love and let God turn their passion into kingdom pursuits. Now, live from the Truth Booth, your host, Robbie Dillmore.
What a treat we have for you. I mean, really, we have a treat for you today on Kingdom Pursuits. This book changed everything. The Bible's amazing impact on our world. We have Michael Austin with us with Christian History Magazine. Michael, I'm going to let you introduce our very special guest. Michael, can you hear me?
Well, maybe this is Vishal. Maybe I can introduce myself until Michael comes.
Yeah. Well, Michelle, I'm sorry. Michael's phone must have been one making all that funny noise, but I'm glad, very glad to have you.
Well, thank you for having me. Yes, my name is Vishal Mangalwadi. I was born and educated in India, married there and served. And right now I'm on worldwide tour promoting this book, which has been published in Portuguese and English, German and Spanish and Finnish editions are coming. This book changed everything, the Bible's amazing impact on our world.
And boy, what it has had on our world. And I was talking to Michael earlier in the week. My daughter just came back from a mission trip to Uganda, and he said that you had spent some time there. And actually, I just came back from a mission trip in Jamaica where I experienced a similar real crisis in fatherlessness. And I was so thankful to hear about your work there.
Yes. I made 5 trips to Uganda. And in February, we hope to start a global revolution, educational revolution there, where every church, beginning with 30,000 Pentecostal churches, every church will be equipped to have an academic pastor who uses web-based education to have college classrooms in the church. So an educational satellite will take the world's best curriculum created by experts from around the world into the remotest corners, and a young person doesn't have to become a refugee running from the village into the city, turning cities into slums, but he should be able to get the best education in his own church. So the academic pastor would be like youth pastor version 2.0, which is a homeschooling parent who has been credentialed to guide students to go through their college curriculum. But many of the churches, of course, will also start a K through 12, which will be what Martin Luther had begun. The modern universal education came with the Protestant Reformation when Luther realized that the doctrine of priesthood of all believers means that every person, whatever he is doing, is a priest serving God. And if he or she is a priest, he needs to know God, know God's will, because God's will cannot be done on earth if we decide to invent what God's will is. If we make up God's will, we have to study God's word, God's truth, and serve him according to his will. So that's a process. Right now I'm writing a curriculum which is applying my books on the Bible's impact on the world. It's called the Online BA in Applied Theology, How the Bible Impacted Political Freedom, Economic Development, Family, and everything else, law and tolerance and intellectual life.
Yeah, the discipleship part of that is absolutely amazing, and so part of, you know, the Great Commission that we're going to be talking about. We did finally get Michael with us. Michael, welcome to Kingdom Pursuits. I hope we got you.
Thank you. Thank you, Robbie. I've been listening in, and great information from Vishal Mangalwadi here.
Oh, I am excited to hear, because I'm so close to this situation that I have not been in my life, because I'd never been on a mission trip in my life till I went to Jamaica to find the crisis of the lack of Bible, you know, understanding or anything that had to do, you know, with moral standing. It's just like fatherlessness on unbelievable. But anyway, I have to, since it's King of Pursuits and my audience hasn't heard a riddle now in 3 weeks, we got to get this done. So speaking of books, of course, we all heard about the book on anti-gravity, and you know, I found it impossible to put down, you know, being a book on anti-gravity. But then bookkeeping is a problem for a library. Just saying. In other words, don't overdo it. However, a good lawyer will defend my rights in the bookcase. And that's if they throw the book at you, you know. They could put you in a 3-story jail. And it turned out the librarian didn't know what to do with the other book. It tells a love of electricity. She didn't know how to file it, so she filed it under current affairs. Now, come on, that's funny. You can laugh a little bit, Michael. Okay, that's good.
I love your sense of humor.
And I had to return the book of incantations because it was useless. The author had failed to run a spell check on it, as you can imagine. Yeah.
Well, we know that you're a bookworm.
So, you knew at the end of all that, maybe not so good puns today, we do have a riddle. And this one is, since this book changed everything, what was the earliest mention of cars? You know, and cars are a big part of how things change. What was the earliest mention of cars in the Bible? You may not know that, but if you do know that, you can win today. Keith, tell them what they'll win.
Today's prize is 4 tickets to see the Winston-Salem Dash take on the Potomac Nationals on August 16th.
So, to win those tickets, all you got to tell us is which was the earliest mention of cars in the Bible. 866-348-7884. And now that we got the silliness out of the way, we can get back to a very serious matter here that we're talking about. This book changed everything. And really, after having been in Jamaica and my daughter telling me about what was going on in Uganda, we both experienced something similar, Vishal, that no one knew who their father was. And with this fatherless society, I mean, it really, I'm curious about your study on getting back to that, because family seemed non-existent.
Sure. I was in Jamaica many years ago teaching for 2 weeks on community development. And I found that in the best churches there, 85% of the children didn't know their fathers, didn't have fathers, because their mothers never married their fathers. So this was about 20 years ago, and the sexual revolution was just beginning in Hollywood, in the sense that the press had publicly begun to glamorize unwed mothers, that such and such actor is so beautiful, she's not married and she's pregnant, how cool. Now, Jamaica had been experiencing that sexual revolution for a long time. So I was curious, how did sexual revolution come to Jamaica before it came to Hollywood? And I realized that this was actually a British policy. In 1807, thanks to William Wilberforce, the British Parliament banned slave trades. Now, that moral victory had a huge negative economic impact in all of the Caribbeans, where English people had built huge ranches, and their business of growing sugar depended on having slaves. But if the British Parliament isn't going to let the ships bring slaves to Jamaica, how will these ranchers survive? So the ranchers had a very simple solution to the problem. Well, we have to breed slaves in our own ranches. So how do you do that? Well, very simple. Teach men not to marry. Make this woman pregnant, that woman pregnant, that woman pregnant. Well, the woman will nurse the baby for a few months.
I hate to cut you off, but we got to go to a break. Vishal, this is wonderful, wonderful stuff. So we come back, we're going to hear more of that. What a wonderful insight from Vishal and we will be back in just a moment. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. Today, we are so blessed to have with us Michael Austin with Christian History Magazine and Vishal Mangawati, who wrote the book. This book changed everything, the Bible's amazing impact on our world. When we left our hero, Vishal, he was sharing about the sexual revolution in Jamaica, which I find absolutely fascinating. I didn't mean to cut you off there, Vishal, but go ahead.
Sure. So the ranchers who needed slaves, they taught men not to marry, but to make women pregnant. A woman will look after her baby for a few weeks. Then she has to work to feed herself and the baby. The baby has no father, has no grandparents because they are in Africa. So a child who is growing up without family, without a father, is guaranteed to grow up to be a slave. That's what is happening to the Western civilization now. Sexual revolution is the path to slavery. It was sexual discipline, where sex is used to build a relationship of love between father and mother, a couple, which provides the emotional, economic, intellectual stability and growth. So the purpose of sex in the Bible is to establish our dominion over the earth. God brought Eve to Adam, made so that two of them may be one, to be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and establish their dominion. So the ultimate purpose of sex is to make us rulers, because as God's children, we are created to govern this earth. Sexual revolution, which destroys the family, its objective is to make us slaves.
Wow, what a picture. What a picture. And, you know, my daughter was in Uganda, and she described almost something similar to that, and that she said that she was in the villages working there with the children, and none of the women there were married, but all of the men just slept wherever they wanted to all the time.
Well, that is one of Africa's major problems, but what the intellectuals in America don't realize is that in 1831-32, a French magistrate came to America, Alexis de Tocqueville, and he wrote two volumes, Democracy in America. At the end of the second volume, he says that I have described some amazing, extraordinary, great things happening in America. If you ask me what is the chief cause of this extraordinary success and growing power of the United States of America, my answer is the superiority of their women. American women are superior to French women, not genetically, but he says that because in America, the Bible's idea of marriage and fidelity in marriage, that you will not covet your neighbor's wife, you will not commit adultery, these have been best realized. So America is still the only country in the world where a president can be impeached for lying about his sex life. Britain has just appointed a prime minister who, while he was married to two different women, was sleeping around with other women and having children and forcing those women to abort their babies. Now, this is new for England, but this was common for France, has been common for centuries, even after France became Roman Catholic. So sexual revolution is at the root of the destruction of countries. Like, this is a problem in South America, in France, compared to Africa. It's much worse in Africa. And that was the idea. So the ranchers in Jamaica could have been teaching men that, look, you are slaves, but your children should grow up to be rulers. And the way to do that is for you to love a woman, marry her, be faithful to her, love her children, disciple them, nurture them. This is the secret, harnessing sexual energy for building families, building children. This is the secret of the Bible-inspired cultures which made these nations great.
Wow. Wow. And so even the Judeo ethic as well, you know, for them.
Absolutely. So when you start reading the book of Genesis, you find that Abraham is living in a culture where he cannot even call his wife, because in order to get his wife, people will have to kill him. So he calls her his sister so that the kings can ask, well, send your sister to my harem. And he does that because if he refuses to send his wife to king's harem, his head will be chopped off and the wife will still go. Now, this is the culture that God is transforming. When he sends his wife to king's harem, he then has no moral problem in taking a concubine or a second concubine. And he loves sleeping with younger women. But God says, no, 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 you send these younger women out of your home and you sleep with your wife. In your old age, you're going to have a child, you're going to have a family. So God is undermining that cultural system of concubinage and sleeping around with other women and asking Abraham to be faithful to his wife, which is what, of course, Moses then, through Moses, the law is given that you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, love your own wife. No culture in history has ever required a husband to love his own wife.
Wow. Michael, I can hear you saying, uh-huh.
You know, Robbie, I just want to underscore what Vishal is explaining or describing. It's incredible insight. But as a student of Christian history, I have to say that nearly all of the great stories of the heroes of the faith are examples of people in the church, leaders in the church, leaders in the community, helping people to understand these truths in all kinds of ways. We saw the in the 1800s, where most of these stories in the magazine cover. We see the efforts to overcome the sin and ills of alcoholism, for instance, of so many different things that caused the destruction of the family. Unfortunately, they were dealing with the symptoms of the problem. And Bijal is absolutely right. He's kind of getting down to the cause, which is fatherlessness. And by the way, the data is showing that these shooters that are such a curse now, such a an amazing affront to everyone, these shooters that are killing people to a person, these are individuals, it's being shown by the data that they are fatherless. That is the commonality of these violent occurrences are being perpetrated by fatherless people. And so the great heroes of the faith, invariably, a big part of their own personal life was that they had a faithful spouse and a lifelong relationship with their spouse, with their wife or their husband, and also that they worked in their community. Invariably, the institutions of Christendom and Christianity, the Christians, support and are successful because of the family structure. And this is amazing because that, I think, in biblically speaking, is the first nation. It's kind of a microcosm of what then can become a nation. Without strong families, I think it must be impossible to have a successful nation.
What about India? You're from India, right, Vishal?
Yes.
What's the story there?
Well, I have on my website, revelationmovement.com, an essay called From Ram to Abraham. Ram is one of our gods, From Ram to Abraham. So India, in Hinduism, there was no limit to how many wives you can marry. Islam put a limit to four women, Muhammad himself had 13 wives, but average Muslim was allowed 4 women. But Hinduism had no such limit. And in the 1860s, one Indian social reformer, Keshav Chandra Sen, he began to realize that England was a tiny island. It colonized such a big subcontinent in South Asia. What made England so strong? And he concluded it was because an Englishman was allowed to have only one wife. This was the secret of England's strength. So he said if India has to catch up with the West, then we must change our laws and a man should have only one wife. So he struggled, but it took 105 years only in 1955. So the battle had begun in 1850 when the writers had begun to say that. But in 1955, Indian law was changed and a Hindu can now have only one wife. If he wants a second wife, he has to become a Muslim to have a second wife or third wife, which does happen often. The Bible's impact on changing Indian definition of marriage has been amazing. Now, the reason from 1948, when our constitution was being written, to 1955, when this law was passed, there was intense political discussion on this whole question of how many wives can one have. And the reason it took so long was Mahatma Gandhi, because Gandhi would not sleep with his wife. He would sleep with everyone else's wife.
Well, we have to go to another break. I hate that. This is so intriguing to me. And wow, I'm so excited about this particular revolution. When we come back, we'll have more of Vishal, more Michael on this episode of Kingdom Pursuit. Stay tuned.
Robbie Dillmore here. And, you know, I've developed a real soft spot for MyPillow. And if you've been waiting for the lowest price ever offered on MyPillow, it's arrived. With their patented interlock fill system, American-made, guaranteed not to go flat. And believe me, I've had mine for over 5 years now, and it hasn't. Fully machine washable, 6-day money-back guarantee, and a simple 4-question filling process. Right now, get a 2-pack of MyPillow premiums for only $69.99. That's right, only $34.99 per pillow, which is the lowest price ever offered on radio or TV. Dial 1-800-942-9613 or use the promo code GETTRUTH at MyPillow.com. You too could have a soft spot for MyPillow at only $34.99 a pillow. $69.98 for two. Call 800-942-9613 or go to MyPillow.com and don't forget, use that promo code GETTRUTH.
Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. Today, I am just thrilled to death to have with us Vishal Mangawati. It's hard for me to say it, but I'm working on it. With his book, this book changed everything. The Bible's amazing impact on our world. And Michael Austin from Christian History Magazine. But what insights Vishal has. We were describing when we went to the break, you know, what happened in India's history. And you were just talking about Gandhi, which I had never had any concept of what you just described. You know, as we studied Gandhi, he was a big hero in the history books I read.
That is true, but he was a hero. He was a great man. But his sexual ethic was Hindu, in which a Hindu, if he wants to become enlightened, become God, he has to give up marriage, because Christian marriage is based on the assumption that I'm finite, I'm male, I'm not a female, I need my wife to be complete. But if I believe that I'm actually God, I'm infinite, then male and female is within me. I have to realize the feminine within me. And this is actually at the root of the homosexual revolution in America, in the West. It came to the West this Hindu idea through Carl Jung. In 1936-37, in the winter, he spent many months in India and brought this Hindu idea, which became popular after the hippies brought this understanding that you are actually God, male and female is within you. You don't realize it. You think of yourself as a male. That's your problem. So if you've heard of the word Kundalini and chakra, the female energy, which is called Kundalini, lies coiled up at the bottom of your spine. And actually, Michael and I first met in an ashram where this was very important teaching in near Mumbai, Ganeshpuri. And through meditation, including sexual meditation, you have to awaken your Kundalini, serpent power, and it goes up through the back of your spine through five chakras and ultimately merges in the male energy center, which is Shiva's chakra, crown chakra. And when male and female within you merge, you become God. So Gandhi was sleeping with two naked girls towards the end of his life, writing about his experiments in sexuality. And he confessed to the Congress Working Committee. Congress is a political party in India. And he confessed that he was trying to become God. He was trying to awaken his Kundalini energy through these sexual experiments that he called them, and experience his divinity. And he said actually that when Hindu-Muslim riots were happening big time in India in 1947-48, he said that the problem is not with Hindus or with Muslim, the problem is with me. I have failed to become God, and therefore I'm not able to control the nation. So this idea that God is in every one of us, we are infinite, means that the idea that we are male or female is an illusion. And so when I say that the Bible changed everything, our concept of male and female comes from the Bible. It was Genesis that said that God created man in his image, male and female. Now imagine that this is just a story. God never actually created us male and female. Then you have an intellectual problem of what is maleness and what is femaleness. Without the Bible, your Supreme Court has become darkness, where your judges, your senior politicians can no longer know what is maleness and femaleness.
Wow. That's a lot of information. I'm curious, Michael, I know you were there in the ashram where you first met him, and he came in and tried to straighten you out as you were going down this road. Can you kind of describe that for us?
Actually, I refused to be interviewed by Vishal. I was so caught up in what he is describing, I actually pursued that life. And it was terrifying. When I look back upon it, I was engaged in worship of a guru, an Indian guru. Vishal was actually investigating and asking people like myself, why in the world are you coming to India and getting caught up with these false leaders, these false gods, if you will. I escaped that because I praise my Heavenly Father to this day that I still had a conscience, even though I was involved with that dark satanic cult, and I was offended and convicted, came under conviction, because the guru was doing exactly what Vishal is describing. He was sleeping around with the young women in this cult, and that to me was evidence that he was a liar, because he was claiming to be a celibate monk. Well, I learned later that actually the Hindu term for celibacy is brahmacharya, and it actually means that they are not sleeping with their wife. It doesn't mean that they're not sleeping with other women. And so this is just ultimate deception. And I just praise the Lord that he pulled me out of that, using what was left of my conscience. And as I look back on it, This is so extraordinary to have been able to have that perspective. This is coming into the church today. Kundalini yoga is being preached in our churches. The Lakeland movement, the Toronto movement, this extreme Pentecostal activity that is going on in the church is nothing but Kundalini yoga and Hinduism infiltrating the church. In fact, I have been speaking in churches of late talking about the truth of yoga, because yoga, if you simply Google yoga temple or yoga pants, you will discover that what yoga is all about is illicit sex.
Wow. And it was interesting, Michael, you and I had a discussion prior to this, setting up this wonderful interview. I'm so thankful for too, by the way, Michael, this has blown me away. But Vishal's, seems to be completely on the Great Commission. In other words, discipleship, right? Understanding the Bible, becoming disciples is the answer to, these horrible things that are happening to our society, and history proves just doesn't work.
On our own education system, prior to the 60s, this was, or really it should be prior to the 40s, 30s and 40s, our education system was thoroughly Bible-based. There was prayer in the classroom. There was study of Bible. Now, the intention was never to be a theocracy. It was simply that our culture was imbibed with the Bible teaching. It was a part of our language. It was part of our law. It was part of every fabric, every thread that made up the fabric of our culture. Right. This is what Vishal reveals in his book so eloquently.
So what I did was I went, interestingly, God kind of gave me a word for the day day after I spoke with you of the word disciple. And I always looked at the word disciple in the Greek, and it has this enthusiastic learner or spiritful learner, which is wonderful. But I started to wonder what was the Hebrew word for disciple, and because I like the Hebrew language seems to get more at the heart of things sometimes for me, especially, since it was the original one. And I'm pretty sure Jesus was, when he said, go make disciples, that there was a Hebrew version of that I wanted to study. So when we come back, I'm going to share what I find absolutely fascinating about the word disciple in Hebrew. Maybe Vishal knows way more about this than me, but I'm excited to share it a little bit as to how it relates so much to what we're talking about. And it's just fascinating to me and what I've been able to experience. Thank you so much. We'll be back with one more segment of Kingdom Pursuits. Suits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. Today, we are so blessed to have with us Vishal Mangawati. His book, the name of it is This Book Changed Everything, The Bible's Amazing Impact on Our World, and Michael Austin with Christian History Magazine. And right at the end of that segment, I was describing my adventure into just trying to discern what the word disciple meant when Jesus said, go make disciples of all nations. I've loved the definition in Greek for years of the word disciple there, but then I started to look at the Hebrew and found that inside that word in Hebrew was, yes, learner and scholar, but there was also another word, and actually it's goad. Like, Paul, you're kicking against the goad. It's like an ox goad. It has to do with discipline. And so from the Jewish perspective, it just isn't an enthusiastic learner. It's a disciplined, enthusiastic learner. And I really hear that from you, Michal.
Yes, that's true. You see that concept in several places in the Old Testament. In Genesis 18, verses 18 and 19, God says that Abraham will surely become a great nation because he will teach, instruct his children, his household, his children and his household, those who are biologically his and those who are legally financially part of his family, he will teach them to walk in God's ways, to do what is just, what is right. Now, Moses repeats that in Deuteronomy 4, verses 5 to 8, that I've given you all of these commandments, ordinances, statutes, instructions. If you walk in them, you will be a wise nation, a great nation. All your neighbors will look at you and say, what a great people and wise and understanding people they are. So Abraham will become a great nation because he will disciple his nation. Moses is saying that you will be a great nation if you continue to live under this discipline of God's law. So to disciple nation is to bring them under God's discipline, the authority of God's word. And as Austin was saying, that this was common in America, this was common in Europe, particularly in Protestant nations, that the church was responsible to disciple every student to make a nation great, to walk in God's ways.
Wow, that's just beautiful. And I was sitting there just thinking, wow, the word discipline's kind of in the word disciple, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it is a sexual discipline, but it also is a learning discipline, but it's also a joyful discipline because, you know, wow, it just seems to me when I learn stuff like that, it's so cool. And I just like, man, Michael, I know you feel the same way, because I think part of what drove you over there to India to begin with is you love to learn.
Yes, yes. And what's so exciting is that what is coming up around Vishal Mangalwadi is an education movement to bring Bible-based education to places in need. And you know where it's needed most? Right here in the United States. And it's happening here. There are churches that are beginning to lift up an academic pastor, a mentor, so that our high school students don't have to be cast away, if you will, and sent off to these state institutions that, you know, are hell-bent, if you will, to destroy their faith. They can remain in their community and continue their education in their church and in their own institutions, and right up to college degree, accredited college degree, and even PhD level. And so that model is being transferred to places like Indonesia, Uganda, Colombia, Brazil, through a organization of educators that are gleaning these truths from Vishal's writings. It's very, very exciting movement.
Wow. And Vishal, I'm interested. You call it a revolution, as I recall?
Yes. This is an education revolution, because the whole idea that every child should go to school comes from Martin Luther, when he understands priesthood of all believer. The Roman Catholic Church had already built universities to train priests. But if everyone is a priest, then everyone needs to be trained to know God, to love God, because eternal life is to know the truth, the true God. So the church began education, including in America, all the universities, schools, but now the devil has taken over that education, and if America has to be brought back under the discipline of God's word, character and truth, veritas and virtue, then the church has to take education back from the devil, and it's very simple to do. One curriculum, outstanding curriculum created by greatest experts in the world, uploaded for free, and every church having an academic pastor helping young people to go through the curriculum using their own laptop.
Wow, I hate that we are out of time. But you can go to Kingdom Pursuits to find out more about Vishal, his book, and what he's talking about is revolution. Michael Austin, of course, with Christian History Magazine. Thank you so much, gentlemen. What an amazing show today. Thank you.
Well, thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Oh, God bless. And next up, you have Encouraging Prayer with James Banks. So stay tuned. So much more truth coming at you on Kingdom Pursuits. Thank you for listening today.